Father God, may the reality of your presence and your glory live in our lives. Amen. Please do be seated. I wonder when you were most fully alive. Was it a sunset or a sunrise over the Grand Canyon? A wedding day? The birth of a child? A hole in one on the golf course? How I dream for that. But ponder this. A second century Greek bishop called Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human being fully alive." The glory of God is the human person fully alive. I guess you and I probably wouldn't have come up with that answer when we most felt at peace and at one. All was well and all will be well. So I want to consider glory, and I obviously can't count, because as the readings were read out, I thought, there's another glory I've missed. It's mentioned 9 times in these 2 readings. If it's mentioned more, you win a prize. Just shows the thing about detail. But this is a glory-rich 2 passages of Scripture today. The wonder and the character and the worth of God. God to many, an allowable expletive, but to some of us, a word above all words. A God above all gods. And we just need to sort of frame where we are, because we're in the liturgical waiting room. 3 days ago, we were staring into heaven as Ascension Day was celebrated. And in a week's time, we will celebrate the birth of the church at Pentecost. We're in that in-between time. The church, though, is the glory of God. It is a remarkable institution. It's a remarkable family, and we will give thanks and honour to it in a week's time. Because glory in the Latin comes from the word gloria, meaning fame or renown. From the Greek, it's kleos, which in English is usually translated as being loud. There's something about glory that is very audible, as it is very visible as well. Somebody said to me today that you don't need a microphone, Simon. I have no idea what they mean. Anyway, but when there is the glory of God, you see it, you hear it, you witness it. It's there. We can't ignore it. And often in the Bible, the glory of God is associated with brightness, with a luminous light. There's Moses shielding his face from the glory of God, because it's so intense he cannot see it with his own eyes. There's that marvellous passage that we have read at Christmas from Luke 2. An angel of the Lord stood over them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's like somebody's turned the dimmer switch up. It's brilliant white light. Mary singing the song in Luke 1, the Magnificat, "My soul glorifies the Lord." There's something about an intensity, a transcending of our language, because we can't fully describe what it is to see the majesty of God. But when we use the word glory in normal everyday English language, it's to do with admiration, it's earned, it's honourable, it's praiseworthy. But it's intriguing, isn't it, that in Jesus we have somebody who is our glorious God, but he did not set out for adulation, but for sacrifice. His glory came as a suffering servant. It's one of those upside down things. When we consider famous men and women who receive glory from ourselves and others, and compare it with what Jesus has done in laying down his life. And it's that sacrifice that we are invited into, however painful it may be, in 1 Peter. There's an honesty, as Peter writes these words, that as we reveal the glory of God, it may be costly. But the main passage I want to focus on is the one in John. This is one of the parts of this really long conversation that Jesus has in the upper room. It's Maundy Thursday evening. That night he will be arrested and go to the cross the following day. And this is a prayer that he is praying for his disciples. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. There's an intimacy between Jesus and God. But we are not out of the mix. We are referred to repeatedly in this gospel, which is very interesting. Jesus here is praying for his disciples, for you and me. He's inviting us into a share of this glory and this wonder. Look very carefully at verse 10. Yes, it begins, as Jesus says, all I have is yours, God's, and all you have is mine, that intimacy of relationship between Father and Son. But then it says, and glory has come to me through them. That's you and me. That's the disciples of Jesus Christ. And that's fairly awesome. That the glory of God can be revealed in us. We're not passive bystanders looking at a bright light or the presence of God or the power of his Holy Spirit. That fills us, and we can reflect his glory. God's glory comes through us. Now, I don't know whether that feels quite a weighty responsibility. When I was really pondering this yesterday, it laid quite heavily on me. But my sense is that I just need to be reflecting the glory of God. Because there's no glory in me, myself. It's what God blesses us, me, with. The glory of God is the human person fully alive. God giving us the potential to be fully who he has always wanted us to be. It's an awesome invitation. And I think we should see it as an invitation, less a challenge. Because God knows our concern and our worry and our deference to maybe us being unable to do that. He knew these disciples were going to betray him the next day. Yet he says that. And he's saying it to you and I right now. And if you change they or them and put your own name into the passage in John from verse 6 to the end, it's very, very powerful. I have revealed to Simon, whom you gave me out of the world. He is yours. You gave Simon to me, and he has obeyed your word. Suddenly gets very personal. And it's meant to be, because we're the they and the them. And this message is for you and me. And I guess we've got to be honest, it's work in progress. We're not there yet. And that lovely picture right at the end of unity, so that they, us all, may be one as God is one. So we shine by reflecting God's glory. We're like mirrors. We just need to spend a little bit of time polishing ourselves a bit more, so God can fully reflect his nature in us. In Matthew, he wrote, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. God is glorified by the actions of his disciples. What an awesome thought. And it's true that we can see God in each other. And I guess all we need to do is allow God to trust God with that dimmer switch to turn us up. Because there isn't a limit on what God can do. He always has more for us. I was pointed to a very famous sermon that C.S. Lewis gave nearly 80 years ago, back in Oxford. It was called The Weight of Glory. And it's well worth reading, because obviously he knows what he's talking about. I don't. But it was a marvellous sermon. And one of the quotes that came out of this, as he considers the glory of God shown in his people, he said this: to please God, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in. Delighted in as an artist delights in his work, or as a parent in a child. It seems impossible. A weight of burden of glory, which our thoughts can hardly sustain. We can't believe it. But it is so. That God is glorified in the thoughts, the words, and the actions of his followers. And we are here to help one another to show that glory even more fully. Let's pray. Father, help us to trust you, to get a sense of the magnificence of who you are and the glory of you as our God, who went to the cross, defeated sin and death, rose again, and will give us ongoingly the gift of your Spirit to reflect your glory. Give us confidence in the journey of today to do that just a little bit more, to trust you and to reflect your glory in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.